The following presentation is brought to you by Rant Entertainment Media. For the entertainment you love and the opinions and history you crave, visit rantemradio.com. The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment. Every week, The Shining Wizards is brought to you free of charge, and we thank you for listening. But if you'd like to help support the show in other ways, here's a few things that you can do to help. Go to iTunes and Stitcher and leave us a review. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and shop the way you usually do. It won't cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy some of our merchandise, visit prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards or shiningwizards.com/merch and purchase one of our t-shirts or some of our other great stuff. Follow us on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Become our friend on Facebook at Shining Wizards. Check out our Instagram photos at Wizards Podcast. And for all our videos, visit youtube.com/theshiningwizards. The Shining Wizards is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, TuneIn, The Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizards.com, and Tuesdays live at 7 p.m. East on SWLive.net and RantEMRadio.com. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
Hey, everybody, this is Sunny, the original diva of the WWE and 2011 WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to none other than The Shining Wizards.
Sitting in Studio A, all by myself, it's another super, super speed round edition of the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk, and talk about wrestling, no pauses, because we don't have time for them. It's a Friday Night Delight tonight. We are butting up against Turnbuckle Throwbacks, which actually is probably airing as I speak. Listen, this is not going to be a full episode. I'm by myself. I've got about 10 or 11 notes that I want to get through. We're going to see how many we can blast through. If I don't cover everything that you're looking forward to, well, go find David Meltzer or Phil Rea or somebody else who wants to talk about everything. I personally don't. There's a lot of stuff that happened this past week and a half, and I would be remiss if I didn't want to talk at least about some of it. And why not start off with the biggest news of the week? WrestleMania went down. And it kind of sucks that they don't number them anymore. I look at it, and all I think of when I hear WrestleMania is that tag match, Hogan and Mr. T versus Piper and Mr. Wonderful. But, you know, I'm an old man, so what do I know? A couple of things that stood out from WrestleMania, and these are really the only things that I really want to go over. The moment of the night, and make no mistake, you can say that it was, you know, AJ and Shane had a great match, and you know, Lesnar and Goldberg had a great match, which they did, which I'll get into. But the Hardys coming back, super huge surprise, winning the Raw Tag Team titles in the four-way ladder match. Unbelievable. Jeff back to his old tricks, doing the big swanton to the outside, to the ladders. Matt giving us a little bit of the broken Hardys when he came out, doing the yes! Awesome stuff. The crowd of 475,000 people in Orlando ate the thing up. It was amazing. And don't get it twisted. There was a lot of other stuff that went on in Orlando this weekend, but I'm sure you guys have heard all that news already. I just wanted to mention that. Huge markout moment for me. The other thing that I really liked was the Lesnar-Goldberg match. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was exactly what it needed to be. I do like the fact that Lesnar leapfrogged over Goldberg, and Goldberg pretty much put himself on Loopy Street, if you want to call it that. And that fed into Suplex City and the decisive win for Brock Lesnar with the F5, even with that primal scream at the end. It's exactly what it needed to be. Goldberg winds up sort of maybe retiring on Raw the next night. You know what? Couldn't have ended better. We'll see where it goes. The one match that was awful, pew stinkeroo, and it wasn't the women's matches. It wasn't anything else. I kind of like the Andre Battle Royal, but I'm talking about that tonight. I can't shit on Rob Gronkowski. I do like the fact that that little security guard lady, she had a whole bunch of spunk, not on her face. Get out of the gutter. But she was like, no, you're not jumping in. They had like, hey, yeah, he's supposed to. Just kind of, you know, cave in that shit. Orton and Bray Wyatt. What a stinkeroo. I don't care how many bugs you put on the canvas with the projections and whatnot. It was pretty bad. I mean, I kind of knew that Orton was going to win. I think most of us did, but whatever. Shit soul on that one. I guess the real highlight, and I have to talk about it a little bit, was the main event, Undertaker and Roman Reigns. 19 hours into the show, we finally get to our main event. The night was long. We visited 305 Land with Pitbull, and enough of that shit already. Nothing against Pitbull. Nothing against all you girls that want to throw your panties on stage like he's the fourth coming of Tom Jones or whatever. But Undertaker Reigns, I mean, I get that Reigns dominated. I think it told a good enough story. It was just pretty sad, man. It was a sad note for Taker to go out on, and it was legitimately sad when he left all of his stuff in the middle of the ring at the end of it, and he kind of, you know, took his last ride or last walk or however you want to call it. And fuck you, Triple H, for your stupid entrance. I'm tired of it. You shit on Seth Rollins enough. Poor guy's coming back from being injured. You don't wrestle all the time. You have all the time in the world to work out. Nobody fucking cares. I'm glad your wife went through a table. Fuck her, too. And that's my WrestleMania recap. We'll get into Raw in a little bit. Actually, you know what? There wasn't really that much about Raw. So I might as well cover that now. We'll call that the next point. Roman Reigns opens Raw to thunderous boos. Every time he put the microphone to his lips, more thunderous boos. He got awful chants, fuck you Roman, and Roman sucks, and all this other happy horse shit. And he said, this is my yard now, and it was perfect. Perfect. Hopefully they do something smart with him. I really enjoyed that. I'm glad that happened. The other great thing of WrestleMania weekend, Hall of Fame. I didn't get to see the entire Hall of Fame. I watched three things that I really wanted to watch. And of course, if you don't know by now, you probably shouldn't be listening to me because you have no idea who I am. Diamond Dallas Page, Eric Bischoff, Jim Cornette and the Rock and Roll Express, and of course, John Cena, Kurt Angle, your main event inductee, if you will. Kurt Angle, it was great to see him. You could see he was genuinely happy to be back. He even did like all the old goofy shit with the little cowboy hat singing the Jimmy Crack Corn song. And he even did the double milks, where he toasted himself up at the end and he chugged the milks and poured them all over himself. It was great. Cena even had some nice words to say about him. Angle thanked a whole ton of people. He was awesome. I'm really kind of surprised he didn't mention the crucifixion of the Sandman, but what do I know? Let me see. Diamond Dallas Page and Eric Bischoff. These went on long, but they didn't feel like they went on long, if that makes sense. I enjoyed Eric Bischoff. He got out there. He told some great stories. Dallas told some great stories. He thanked everybody under the sun. I didn't realize Dallas Page had four daughters, not just one that he mentions in his DDP yoga videos. Cheap plug for him. The bell's over there. I'm pointing to it. I'm not reaching it because I'm using the Yeti tonight. So just pretend I rang the bell. Ding, ding. Or actually, you know what? I could do this one. You know what? I can't find it. Screw it. I'm wasting time. Let's just keep going. And now I'm drooling all over myself. Jim Cornette introducing the Rock and Roll Express. Great stories out of Jim. I think he went a little too long, but you know me. I love me some Jim Cornette stories, so I had no problem with it. Rock and Roll Express was great. They were all over themselves, but they were having a great time telling great stories. And I even liked that that Ricky was calling Robert Hoot the whole time. If you don't know that story, go listen to Jim Cornette and pick up on that. And pretty much told each other that they were like each other's family, which is, you know, all that you can ask for. And didn't mention anything about Matt seeing their balls, but I guess, hey, that's when Matt gets put into the Hall of Fame after he defeats Bobby Lashley. Am I right? So that was the Hall of Fame in a nutshell from my point of view. Okay, so let's talk about The Undertaker before we move on. Is this it? Is he done? It was really cool that JR came out and called this match. If it was his last match, we'll get back to JR in a minute. There's a bigger picture there that I want to cover. But I mean, the moment at the end was the moment that it was all about, you know, the way the match went down, you know, be damned, whatever. It was a lackluster ending to a WrestleMania match-wise. However, going out, putting on the robe, you know, the duster and the cap and, you know, the cap, Jesus, whatever the hell you want to call that, his cowboy hat. Don't mind me. I don't care. I don't wear cowboy hats, whatever. So he put everything in the ring. He put the gloves, put the hat. People are crying. You know, people are shaking their head. They were more, I think, emotionally involved in the fact that he wound up doing this as a symbolic gesture more than the fact that he lost. And he did lose in very convincing fashion. You know, like I said, it told a great story, but the execution of the match was kind of like, So is this it for The Undertaker? Do we ever see him again? Is he going to finally become Mark Calloway or Mark Callis or Mean Mark? Or, you know, is he going to be a regular guy? Like, are we going to get tables for three with the guy that used to be The Undertaker, you know? Like, hey, I'm not dead anymore. Look at me. Dong. You know, some kind of shit like that, whatever. So that's it for The Undertaker. A storied career. Finished up WrestleMania at 49-2, something like that. Feels like he's been around forever, but... You know, Godspeed, my friend, or I don't know. Now I'm babbling. Now I'm wasting time. Something I don't know if I'm going to catch heat for mentioning about, but I feel like it needs to be said just because I was a fan of the guy and I really enjoyed his work and I was really proud of him, the fact that he got a tryout for WWE. I'm talking about James Riley. I'm sure you've heard the stories. I'm not going to get into it. And I'm not going to be one of these guys that's a sympathizer or try to make excuses for him. Maybe things were a misunderstanding. All I'm going to say is you don't really know if you know somebody. And I think that kind of disturbed a lot of people more than anything that happened, more than anything that, you know, came out about the situation and what went down and what he did and what he admitted to doing. I like to put my trust in people, but... Once that trust is shaken, you know, I kind of reevaluate not only that situation, but other situations in life. I mean, am I alone in this? I'm trying not to focus on what was done and what he did and what else was claimed that he did, but just bigger picture. Like, do we want to go around, like, not being able to, you know, like, I don't want it to be like a, oh, you think you know someone kind of situation, but it just brings you back down to that human level and... You know, I could sit here and go, we all make mistakes and, you know, like we should all learn from our mistakes and whatnot. But that's not what this is about. It's kind of about where do we go with people? What happens next? Do we continue to trust people from our own perspective? Just something to think about. There's no real answer to it. I'm just curious as if you put any thought into that as this whole thing was going on. I mean, I sure did. Speaking of knowing people, we all know what a scumbag, dirtbag, piece of shit JBL is. We all know that he's given people hell over the years. Justin Roberts just released his book, and he talked specifically about what a piece of shit JBL was, even hiding his passport, which, of course, JBL has come out and denied. And all these stories I have to say allegedly for because I was not there for them. But not so many people like the John Bradshaw Layfield. And you might want to add Mauro Ranallo. I should be able to pronounce that name correctly. I've had a friend of mine named Mauro, which we called Maudo. Of course, we mispronounced it. Since I was about 7 years old. So you would think I would know how to say the name. And plus, I'm Italian. So, you know. But whatever. So apparently, Mr. Ranallo, you like that? He has taken down any references to World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE, or anything that had to do with anything from his Twitter account. Now, we all know he's been suffering from bipolar disorder. He's made no bones about it. He's always saying, you know, try to help people out, try to be understanding, try to be compassionate. And he's been off of social media the past couple of weeks. And apparently the straw that broke the camel's back was that he was proud that he won the Wrestling Observer Award for Commentator of the Year. Now, look, put stock in Dave Meltzer and his fans and the people that vote in these things or not. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter to me, whatever. I enjoy reading this stuff. I also enjoy Scott Keith ripping on this stuff and telling his own stories on it. But the guy was legitimately recognized, and he was happy about it. And he's not a young guy. He's not some newbie to the business, you know. The guy's been commentating for years. He's close to aging me. But he's older than I am, so he's probably a lot older than those of you who actually listen to this show and most of the guys that are on the show, actually. If he's happy about it, let him be. Why do you feel the need to shit on the poor guy? You know, I don't want to say he's fragile, but you know he's got issues with the bipolar disorder. And I don't want to speak like I'm a doctor or an expert or anything. But give the guy a break. And you shit on him, and now you've got Bass Rutten to deal with. And I don't care how old or beat up the guy is or what he's done or what he hasn't done lately. I don't know if I want to be on that guy's bad side. But you know what? Perhaps JBL needs it. He's a fucking... There's no words. I'm sorry. Don't really care. So let's move on from that. Let's get into a little bit of positivity before we wrap this up. Shinsuke Nakamura and Ty Dillinger apparently made their debuts on SmackDown. I didn't catch the Ty Dillinger debut, but Shinsuke Nakamura had the violin and the theme music, and he came out just as The Miz and Maurice were doing their John Cena and Nikki Bella impressions. They lost at WrestleMania. Who cares? The Miz is continuing to hit home runs. The guy's on a roll of a lifetime right now. Maurice is just, she's the syrup on top of that IHOP stack of pancakes that is The Miz. If they don't put the world title on him at some point by the end of the year, I think they're missing out. I think they're making a big mistake. People argue with me all the time that he wasn't ready when he first won the title. I say he's ready. Give the guy a shot. Let him have a run. Give him 4, 5, 6 months with it. Let him have a match with AJ next year at WrestleMania. I think it'll tear the house down. He's at that point. He's earned it. Give it to the guy. But I'm taking away. I didn't see much of NXT. I did catch the Bobby Roode Nakamura match. It wasn't up to the par of the 5 stars that everybody always looks for and whatnot. But I thought it was a solid match. I think the problem is, like, a lot of people aren't behind Bobby Roode yet. I mean, I know I get the whole Glorious thing and all that. I could be talking out of my ass. I really don't get it. He's solid. He's not, like, that over-the-top guy. I get him a lot more than I got Bray Wyatt. And I was really getting behind Bray Wyatt, but unfortunately they did him no favors. But I already talked about that. Speaking of no favors, we're going to go 180 on this as I phlegm into the microphone. Vince McMahon made a rare appearance on Monday Night Raw and talked about a shakeup coming to Raw and SmackDown, which everybody's reading into as people getting switched between brands. I guess it's not going to be a draft. Maybe it's going to be something where where the GMs make deals with each other. I don't know how it's going to work. Or maybe Vince just puts everybody in a drum and says, you're going here and you're going there and you're going to like it and whatnot. But I think it's going to do Raw a lot more favors than it's going to do SmackDown. I think if you move anybody over, you might have some Reigns and John Cena action going. I don't know what Cena's left to do now that he's getting married and all that stuff. Congratulations to them, I guess. Reigns, there's talk preliminarily about AJ Styles getting back with the Good Brothers and reforming the club. Wouldn't be a bad idea to move him to Raw, maybe get Finn Balor involved now that he's made his return and he's back. Boy, there was a lot of stuff that happened on Raw, wasn't there? Oh, yeah. By the way, to the surprise of no one, Kurt Angle is your new GM, and he's already crushing it in the role. So I've got no problems with him staying there. Mick Foley, I always have a soft spot in my heart for, but Kurt Angle, I kind of like it. And the whole Teddy Long thing where they kind of faked us out and Teddy came out and he thought he was the new GM, very funny stuff. He just didn't get a chance to make somebody have a tag team match, playa. So that was that. Let me see. There was one other thing. Impact, I watched this week. Once again, annoying as shit. I'm so tired of this whole Jeremy Borash, Josh Matthews thing. They're finally turning it into like a legitimate angle where they're doing a 4-on-4 match. I don't remember who's in it. I think James Storm and Eli Drake and Tyrus are on one side. Maybe, I think Lashley's with them. They brought back a bunch of people. They brought back Chris Masters as Chris Adonis. Alberto Del Rio's on the team for Borash. I forget who else. They brought back some names. Whatever. The important thing about Impact was Kevin Matthews not only made his debut 2 weeks ago, but this past week they ran a whole vignette about who KM is. We all know who he is. But get into Impact. A lot of our friends are on the show, including your brand new Impact World Champions. I'm sorry, if I've been calling it TNA, whatever. Old habits die hard, I guess. Your brand new Impact Tag Team Champions, LAX, Santana and Ortiz, I guess they're calling them. It's Mike Drastic and Angel Ortiz, our boys from EYFBO, our boys from LAX with Conan, Homicide, and Diamante, who just signed a 2-year deal, I believe, as well. So at least Impact seems to be moving in a different direction. I kind of like it. I'm just tired of this whole commentators fighting thing, and I don't know. It's just a whole bunch of shit. Just a bit of news on that. It turns out now, from what I've read, that Jeff Jarrett seems to say, or seems to be hinting at, unless he didn't come out and actually say it, that Global Force and Impact are going to be merging together. You know what? We heard about Global Force for years now. They've done promoting with New Japan. They've done promoting locally with WrestlePro, and prior to that, PWS. They've worked with a bunch of other organizations. They've had spot shows here and there. They have champions crowned. Maybe Jeff Jarrett's got a little too much on his plate if he's trying to do his own thing with that as well as worry about Impact. So maybe it's not a bad idea. Just don't keep all these belts if you're going to do that. Please. One of the biggest complaints about WrestleMania is that almost every match is for a championship. When you have a brand split, I understand that. But come on. We don't need more belts. We need less belts. Let them mean more. I'll be more happier. Everybody else will be more happier. And that's that. I think the one topic I thought that I would end with tonight, which seemed like it would be a little fun to me, was the fact that there's so much great music now in professional wrestling. Like all these theme songs, like, you know, when Shinsuke Nakamura comes out, he's got the violin and everybody kind of sings along, or everybody sings along to Glorious and everybody knows all the words and whatnot. And there's a lot of catchy music. But one thing I did notice, and I don't know if it started with Seth Rollins because I haven't really been following NXT all that well, so I take him as a starting point. But a lot of the songs now I've noticed have this little bit in the beginning that's different. And then there's almost a pause or a pseudo pause where they kind of like just have something in the background. And then the actual song kicks in. I know they do it with a bunch of them. And I'm going really old school right now because I don't have anything hooked up. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you some examples from my phone. Oh, here, real quick. Bayley's theme song. Awesome. I love it. I love when she comes out and she does the things with the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube guys and all that. Does this song not remind you of Wreck-It Ralph? I don't even know how loud this is coming across because I can't hear for shit, but that's all I think of. I think of, like, Sugar Rush, and I think of, like, you know, like being in Candyland and all that. But whatever. That's just me. I kind of like that music. I also like What's-Her-Face's music, Naomi, too, but it's a little techno. I don't know. Whatever. I'm kind of into it. But this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about with music, right? Like, you listen to Finn Balor, and it just... Ah, you see that? That pause. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You got that with Finn Balor. Who else do you have it with? Why is there Finn Balor 17 times? Samoa Joe's music, which is actually pretty cool, but it's the same thing. Wait for it. It's not an actual pause, but it's kind of... See what I mean? Is this a new thing in music? Does all the kids' music, the music that the kids are listening to these days? God, I can't even get the friggin' cliche correct. By the way, I have the images from the songs. Charlotte looks amazing in her picture. I don't know what she does for national TV, but she needs to keep that look going. I'm trying to think. No, Gallows and Anderson is okay. Who else? Oh, God, there's so many. Yeah, like Shinsuke, after the whole violin thing, which is awesome, you get this. See, it's kind of different, and then it cuts, and then... See? And I don't even think this is the right part, is it? And then it kicks in with the... Oh! Yeah, you see, it even does it again. So there's even, like, two pauses in Nakamura's song. Here we go. Look. It's all amazing. I'm just nitpicking. I don't know if this is a trend in music now, but whatever. That's all I really got. I guess I flew through that a little faster than I wanted to. I'm not going to bother playing anybody else's role tonight because I don't feel like looking anything up. I just felt terribly that the streak, not the Undertaker streak, not Edge's streak, not Charlotte's streak, not even the streak of Michael Cole at WrestleMania. I didn't want this one to be broken. And I felt that we needed to get something new and fresh out there for you guys this week. And I'm going to put this up right now. I'm going to sneak it in there. So hopefully maybe somebody gets surprised. Maybe some other idiots will start yelling at me like, why'd you do a show all by yourself? You know, that usual shit. But what I'm going to try to do, I guess, since I'm in the musical mood, something I came across, I think we've played it before on the show, and I'm going to play it in ghetto mode just so you people have something to think about. Yeah, somebody said that Peyton Royce has a five head. I hate that. I mean, I love that old joke. I just really fucking laughed. I hate the fact that it's true. Here we go. So this one is called Undertaker from the Vault. It's the original piano demo. I think we've played it on the show, but I'm just going to let this play a little bit. Ghetto style. And I guess I'll talk to you guys at some point next week, maybe? Don't forget, Blue Apron. Go to ShiningWizards.com, click the banner. Get $30 off your first order. The food's amazing, but don't take my word for it. Ask my wife who cooks the stuff, and she can't cook. ShiningWizards.com, click on the banner. Save $30. It's worth it. Trust me. And listen to the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Also penis. Big fat penis. If you're still listening, vaginas. Big hairy vaginas. In your mouth.
Well, let's go ahead.
That hurt!
See?
God, that was loud.